Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Yes. Give yes. Thanks, give thanks and praise, Yah Rastafari, to everybody who inherits the earth and the farmers earth. Who grow the earth and all of those who trials and tribulations, that this podcast brings the blessings and the love and the peacefulness to all the people here from the hen house in the west of Ireland. Yah Rastafari.
Well, that's funny you should say that now, because I have an interesting...
That's just a blessing.
Thank you very much.
I have an interesting letter here that I'd like to read out to you very quickly for at the start of the show.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can give out the person's name.
Okay.
But the person who sent it will know who they are, and I just want to say, fair play, Rich.
Okay.
Okay. Lady's name is...
You've an awful habit of taking out these sneaky
you
little
just
letters.
Said you weren't going to... Oh, yeah, just...
But I won't say where she is.
All right.
Harry is lads. What's the crack? Thanks so much for all the belly laughs and wonderful hours over the last year. Your podcast has felt like a few minutes of respite and normality during a rough year between COVID, Black Lives and Trump.
It's amen. Like, peacefulness.
It's like sitting in a pub with some cheeky fuckers where anything and everything will be said. Okay, it goes on. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and indeed from the heart of my bottom. And also thank you for the vulnerable conversations like Loretta and Tommy's mum and Hector's brother too, Raw Day Urub. So healthy for people to be able to connect and learn to discuss these things. Now this is where it gets interesting.
I don't like when he does this.
I don't either.
I feel like I'm in the headmaster's office here.
Weed is legal in Oregon. So here are three strawberry white chocolate correctly dosed edibles for you.
Yah Rastafari has inherited the earth and the meek shall bless us with the ganja.
Plan a day when you take them together on the island.
Yes.
Don't plan on thriving or anything remotely productive. Take a moment away from being around the kids or doing anything that requires responsibility. Treat the chocolate like you would four whiskies. It'll take anything from a half an hour to two to kick in. Doing the podcast would be totally within your wheelhouse too, I'd say. Gramila Mahagab Akarja.
What's the name of that lady? Yah Rastafari, for the meek inherit the earth and the blessings and the peaceful and love from the Rastafari community. The ganja is sacred. But the inherit the earth has blessed us with this in the hen house.
It'll be like,
give thanks to Jah Ganja Rastafari. I ask for the blessings and it has come.
They'll be like the quail.
Keep
on
out
the
of the reach
Street.
Of Mayo people. No children.
Bless the Mayo Nation and the Irish Nation and the Mead Nation.
There's our
post, when are we going to do it?
Post all Ireland.
It's like
post
being
Ireland.
It's like being in a flat in 1995 and lad walks in, he goes, well, are we all right? And you're all sitting around the kitchen table going, na 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 na. It's 7 o'clock on a Friday evening. Let's go now, Tommy.
So the eagle has landed.
Okay, let's speak code now. Okay, the eagle has landed, Tommy.
So we just got to pick a day where the three of us are.
Great, let's go.
Let's go now. Let's go now.
I have to fucking drive to Ballinasloe in an hour.
Drive to Mayo.
That's much. That's
I'll hitch, will I?
He's standing in Ornmore for about 5 hours.
The fucking space cadet.
Waiting for it to kick in.
Loretta, Loretta, you will never get to Ballindine. You'll pull in at Supermax and get the munchies.
I will.
You'll be seen naked in the field at the fucking Hertford Road.
I'll be running home. When are we going to the island then?
But we'll plan it. But
fuck it, lads. Come on now. No. Okay.
But soon. So
these are.
And what we'll do is we won't say to the audience. We won't tell you folks which episode we've taken them on.
Yes.
But you'll just be 10 minutes into one of them going, there's something not right with these lads.
So,
Take them just before we start as well.
With the way ganja has been legalised in so many states in America, the whole edible.
These are white chocolates.
Yeah. So the edibles has grown into a $1 billion business where it's jellies, little almost like little Tic Tac sweets and chocolates, but especially jellies.
When you were over there now,
yes,
did you try them?
And edibles, lovely, real mellow.
How many calories
lovely
are in them, Tommy?
Fucking calories.
fucking
calories.
Jar doesn't worry about calories, my darling.
Oh, brilliant,
you won't
brilliant,
be worrying about the calories can't when wait. You are lifted away to the other land.
You'll be doing your fucking fart squats after these, I tell you.
I was just thinking there about the young lads back at school, and they're coming in going, I don't like this teacher and, blah, 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 and this curriculum. I'm going to change this. So
have you adopted kids from Dublin?
Do you know the way they go on? You know the way they go
on. Who are your dad?
Dad, I don't like this.
No,
I don't like this subject. So what I want to encourage...
The curriculum is that...
I want to encourage today, if we were in charge of a new curriculum to give a new start to the land, to give a new start.
Daydreaming. I put daydreaming
now,
Hang on now.
This is good because I'm serious about this. This is a new chapter and a new beginning for Irish education. So if we had a chance to put things on the curriculum that we want, daydreaming is going in. I'm going to write
set
these.
Set up our own school.
Yes.
Daydreaming.
No, this is for general. This is all over.
Long walks.
Hang on now, please.
Nature walks.
So, daydreaming. There would be a degree. It would be a degree in daydreaming.
No,
yes.
No, it's secondary school.
Yes,
secondary
school. Yeah, but this will, it'll be, a, yes, okay then.
Daydreaming, long walks.
So there would be a long walk curriculum.
Yes.
I was thinking of.
Sea swimming.
Would you go easy here? We can't.
And bringing women to orgasm.
Right, hang on a second. Sea swimming.
Tommy, are you going to teach
orgasm
them?
Class?
A lot of women don't. A lot of women. Orgasm.
So a lot of men don't know how to do.
They
it
don't.
To women.
No,
yeah,
it takes time.
True,
it's what the men have to learn that it's about.
It's relaxing.
No, it's not. It's fucking. It's repetitive monotony. That's what the women get off on. Don't change the stroke.
Just keep the.
Don't
stroke.
Don't change the speed.
Repetitive
just
stroke.
Fucking like a knuckle
the spot.
Action.
That's the most important.
So
thing.
I was thinking of why don't
pendulum.
What about geography, but only of your county? Of your county, learning everything about your county. Everything that you need to know about your county. The rivers, the mountains, the land, the fights, the battles, the
you get that from long walking.
Yeah.
Okay
then.
Sea swimming. Have we done sea swimming?
Yeah. What about hunting and fishing?
This sounds like a fucking weekend for the bloke who owns the Polish shop in fucking Lisbon.
Hang on a second.
Wild hunter.
What about a hunting and fishing class so they can survive?
No, they need to do like how to not get a mortgage class.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. How to remain debt-free.
Debt-free, yeah.
How to remain debt-free.
Much better than hunting
okay.
and fishing.
That's up to Leaving Cert, is it? How to remain debt-free.
Yeah, yeah. Making tea.
Yeah.
Making tea is... instead
in
of
all circumstances.
It's good quality
indoors,
tea.
Indoors, outdoors, rain, wind.
Instead of home economics.
Arctic, fucking cold and Saharan hot.
Making tea in all circumstances.
Hot and cold tea,
I have another one here, learning how to light places. Like light your bedroom, light your house, light a tree.
Lighting,
as in lighting.
Like electricity.
Use
I
lighting.
Can see a division coming between me and you already, Hector. You're
okay,
mad
what about this one? What about teaching people how to fix electrical cars? Because in the
fuck
future...
off. This is bullshit.
Oh, no.
Shut your mouth. This is where...
Let's probably do that in school anyway.
Who's going to fix all the electrical cars in a couple of years when there's no
mechanics?
No, but they're not. They're all...
Engineers.
They're not. There's no electrical mechanics coming through.
How to put on a pot of food that'll do the house for a week.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Home
pot of food for a week.
That'll
class.
Do the house for a week.
Yeah. Anything else?
Men, specifically, how to turn on the washing
what about
machine.
There'll be no washing machines in the new school.
What about a growing degree to grow herb?
Herbs.
A growing degree.
Gardening.
Like botanicals.
Botanicals, edibles, all that.
Yeah.
Yes, come on then.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
Do you not like the hunting and fishing?
That's a lot of classes.
Like a hunting and fishing.
One more. How to solo with the left.
Oh, yeah.
Or how to use boat feet at all times.
Yeah, that's it. That's enough factor. That's
and
enough.
How to mark solo a goalkeeper
with the boat feet.
Yeah. Tommy's class. How to mark a goalkeeper. Feet.
And how come to be? I'm
how to say thank you.
In eight different languages.
Yes, a few different languages.
Thank you, Gramila.
Yeah, mucho gracias, obrigado. How to say thank you
and
so many times.
How to fill in forms and stuff like that.
How to say thanks.
So I was, the both of you were talking about fundraising for your local GAA clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're heavily embedded in the parish.
We have a big problem in Knockmore now. We're the county champions. I don't know if any of you are aware of that, but
No, we never heard that
in
before.
In Mayo, we are the county
until
champions.
Until when?
Well, we are until the championship starts.
Give the cup back, won't you?
Well, we don't need to yet. But the big thing is, we've lovely pitches, great facilities.
It's a fucking mighty pitch.
You only saw the old pitch. We have a new pitch down behind.
Get the fuck.
Incredible.
Larita,
three pitches.
If that was the old pitch,
yes,
I can only imagine what the new pitch is like.
Mind blowing, I know.
Why didn't you show it to us?
Ah, you don't bring it. Too good. You're not allowed to stand on
it's
the
like,
pitch.
It's like the front room in your house at home, Hector.
Yeah, yeah.
No, nobody goes in there.
Unless
it's TR Dallas.
Boots. Only TR. Dallas,
but
yeah.
Tommy, we saw the old clubhouse. They didn't even. There was
No, that's the clubhouse, all right, but the pitch is different. And the big problem is we've a scoreboard down there that was sort of assembled by a half kind of a, I don't know who put it together, but it's a bad job. And it looks like Calcutta down there. The pitch.
Because they're mad into the GAA in Calcutta.
Scoreboard in Calcutta.
Scoreboard, it's third world. We have no scoreboard. We've got an erection that looks like, is that the right word?
Yes.
That looks like it should be a scoreboard, but we don't have any numbers to put into it. We don't
the
have
same
any.
With me, Larita. I have an erection that kind of.
You don't know what it
kind nothing
of.
Comes kind
of nothing comes out. Nothing comes out.
You have a little.
It kind of looks like a cock, but
yeah, it doesn't act like one.
You wouldn't be sure.
So, have you a little man behind the erection who puts in the stuff? Have you a lad up on the back of a ladder?
We don't have a lad anymore. It's too dangerous to go up there. It's not.
Do people just remember the score?
They don't even know it, and like it's bad. Like we need to have some.
You need an electronic scoreboard.
We need to have a reputation of, you know, we're the county champions. We should have a scoreboard.
But are you not taking the job? I like that thing with if it takes down the zero and puts up a one.
No, we don't have that though. We don't have the numbers around.
They're all gone, Tommy. So many scoreboards like that around pitches. They're decrepit and old, and they don't do it anymore.
And it's an awful. I was at an under-19 match the other evening, and nobody knew what the score was till the very end.
Well, we have in Barna, we have one of the old-fashioned number scoreboards, and it's awful. Crack.
Oh. And do you have somebody to operate it?
There'd be a young lad to be given, that'd be his job or a young one.
I used to do but
his father did and his grandfather did and it's been in the family for 40
and
years.
And then you play the national anthem by putting the microphone up to the radio and you press play on the tape. And
you don't play the national anthem for the games in Knockmore, do you?
Yeah, of course it's a big match, do. Yeah.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Get them going.
If it's a county final or something. Yeah, we do things like that.
A real old recording.
And you put the microphone up to the...
Ladies and gentlemen.
And then you go, oh, jeez, somebody has taped over us.
There's always one lad using his little bit of token Irish at the match.
So we need a scoreboard.
So we need one as well. And I did a bit of research into it because when we were in Ruislip last year over at the having a challenge, they have a really cool electronic scoreboard where the lad who was sitting beside me was flicking the thumb with the remote control a half a mile away putting up the score.
Yeah. You probably have the fucking Hawkeye as well in Claregalway, do you?
We don't have Hawkeye just yet. What I'm prepared to offer here is an amalgamation of going searching for two scoreboards.
Right, the two of us
and see if we get a deal. Is there anyone out there who knows where we can get an electronic scoreboard for a nice price for not more?
Two for the price of one. Two
for the price of one. Are you prepared to amalgamate with us?
Yeah. Well, as long as we get one too, we can't give it
to you.
Can
we be twinned on the scoreboard?
Yeah, but as long as we have our own one and you've your own one, that's we can't share it.
No, we're getting two. We're not sharing it. It wouldn't come up on the back of a van for each match. That'd be awful hard.
It'd be too hard, yeah.
So are we okay
with
that?
We'd like a bit of the time on it as well.
Yeah, and we have a sponsor.
How do you mean
on the bottom.
How long is left in the match?
Yeah.
Okay, and sponsor.
Right. And temperature.
Sponsor,
temperature.
You want temperature not more.
And humidity.
Yeah. Yes.
And the length of the grass.
And then we can put THL on the bottom of it, running around on a
Why don't we sponsor this scoreboard in Knockmore?
Yeah, that's great.
It's fucking genius, Tommy. And THL scoreboard.
But we have to get two, so we'll have to get someone to help.
Sponsored
us
by Herbal Remedies CBD.
But they probably cost about fucking 10 grand.
No, we'll get a good deal. We get a good deal.
Megadale. Where?
Megadale.
We get them off Megadales.
Megadales. So that's. We're badly stuck now in Knockmore, and you're as bad, aren't
we
you?
We don't have a scoreboard. And I'm
help Knockmore and Claregalway.
So I'm interested in history.
Go on.
Right.
And I've realised that the most important history has nothing to do with time.
Most important history
has nothing to do with time. So, right. And how history has to do with place rather than time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, if you were brought somewhere and you were said, if you were brought to Wounded Knee in America, where there was a big massacre of the Native Americans.
Right.
And you were told, in this place, 3,500 Native Americans were shot dead. It's kind of unimportant when it happened.
Yes.
Because this is the place mm-hmm. where that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested now, today I'm going to the psychiatric hospital. How do you say it?
Hospital. They're going to hospital.
He's so excited about this. He loves
I'm
that
going
place.
To the psychiatric hospital in Ballinasloe.
Yes.
Where thousands and thousands and thousands of people were medicated out of their own liveliness into a stupor that they never fucking recovered on. The men and women were turned into fucking two-legged cattle and herded from one fucking room to the next, doing the slow psychiatric shuffle, smoking rollies.
Yes.
It's a horrific thing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter when that happened.
Yeah.
It happened. And that's the place. And I'm just asking.
It'll always be remembered as that.
Yeah, but the date is irrelevant.
Yes. It's what happened. It's the action.
Yeah. So, and what I think is that place holds on to history.
Mm.
The time thing is bullshit.
Yes.
You know, if you were taken down to Bailnam Law and you were told that the one of the great men of Irish freedom and a man who went through tough times and hard times and had to make fucking awful decisions and maybe didn't get all of them right, he was fucking assassinated here in this spot, you wouldn't really need to know fucking when it happened.
No.
You
no.
just want
right
to look at the spot. You want to feel it.
So are there places in your imagination?
Yes.
Where you go, I'm trying to think off the top of my head now. Christy Moore was out in Inishere a few years ago and he played a song about the two fishermen Keneally's, two Inishere men who drowned of an evening. And he said, he played a song on the edge of the island and he said he could feel the fucking vibe of it.
Mm.
The when of it is fucking irrelevant.
The spot.
Do you know,
is the place.
It's the spot, isn't it? Which is why when people now go to Calvary in Jerusalem, right, they get fucking overwhelmed.
Mm.
You know, because this is the place where this particular person was fucking crucified. And the when of it, fuck the
irrelevant,
when of it.
Yeah.
So should people in, you almost think people in history classes going back to your school curriculum should stop learning dates.
Yes.
Yeah, like Battle of Hastings.
And more places and feelings.
The Battle of the Boyne.
Experience.
Go to the Battle of the Boyne. Who gives a fuck when it happened?
Let's go to where it happened. And stand on the bank.
Feel the vibe of it.
Yes.
So is there any places like that to hop out to ye in terms of that the when of it is not irrelevant, not relevant.
And they're nearly all like, are they all kind of marked with sadness? Like it was always something drastic that happened. Do you know?
I think so. Yeah.
Do you know, like two fishermen? I'll never forget when we were kids in Knockmore. They were from the north. They were down fishing on Loch Conn and went missing, and we were weeks and weeks and weeks looking for them. And you know, even now you go back to the lake where they were found, and you always think about that particular part of the lake as opposed to, you know, other parts of it. But yeah, like it's always sad things.
Well, not necessarily. I drive a lot up to Belfast from Galway and I drive through Navan and I always drive through Blackcastle Estate and I always drive past a place where I used to munch.
Okay.
I used to throw up her in a pebble dash wall and she had a duffel coat.
Yes. Yeah, a little side alleyway back of the shop.
Little side alleyway and you'd be munging her and her duffel coat up again the pebble dash wall.
So that's
wall.
A good memory,
and
yeah.
Yeah, and the when of it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just as well it wasn't last week.
probably every
that,
time you pass.
But that place, that wall hasn't changed, but the experience of being there. When I'm coming into Navan and I come in from Thrym and we always come over from around the ring road and we come down to the bridge and I'd say to the kids since they've been small, I said, look up to the left at the greatest castle this country has ever seen, Thrym Castle, where they were
beautiful.
Braveheart. And when it's lit up at night, I'm on the banks of the Boyne.
It's Airbnb now, it's lovely.
It's those specific little places, isn't it? It's those areas.
Yeah.
Or something. That
places
happened.
That hold memories.
Yeah. I feel that when I'm on the Boyne. I feel it when I'm on the Blackwater. I feel as if I can dip my hand in and pull the salmon of knowledge. I know Fionn was there. I know Finnis was there. Fungusa,
right.
Finnegan, whatever his name was, fishing for the salmon.
Yes,
Francis.
Just up from the first bridge in Navan, the salmon of knowledge was found, where Fionn found it and he put his thumb on it and
no
he got
all
the knowledge.
No wonder you're all so full of
wisdom.
The salmon of knowledge, the salmon of knowledge was reared in the on Bradon Fasa was reared in the banks of the Boyne around the
beaches. Did you ever catch any of them?
No, but you're most of the look at it. It was you, Tommy. Have we ever caught the salmon of knowledge?
You fucking
barbecued them.
When people from Navan are getting baptized, the bishop dips his thumb in. Bradon Fasa juice and he puts it on your
straight
forehead.
Straight onto you. Jesus. Everyone in Navan who understands the
just
spiritual Navan. Lie of the
just
land.
Navan, yeah.
The Bradon Fasa.
You're glowing.
We were eating Bradon Fasa since we were every Friday in Navan.
Every fucker in the town had Bradon Fasa sandwich.
Yes. You'd have orange smoked haddock on a Friday. We had Bradon Fasa, the salmon and knowledge.
Down
every
to the chipper and get Bradon Fasa.
Battered Bradon Fasa.
Even the fools in Navan were clever. They used to call them the Amadon Fasa.
Fist Fasa and Fardy Flasa, Flas Fasa. But I suppose it doesn't have to be a sad occasion or something where it was there was an awful lot of people who died. I felt the most powerful thing I've ever felt in my life was when I got to the Grand Canyon. And I nearly started crying. I had to sit me on for about half an hour for my eyes to take in the expanse and the amazing place that I was sitting at. And every time I looked to the left and the right, I saw images like the Taj Mahal. And I was seeing elephant sculptures and walls. I was seeing 3 or 4 million years worth of rock in front of me that's 250 miles long and 7 miles wide. And I had to sit on my own and take it all in. And that's a place, that's a special place where nothing really, well, Indians live at the bottom of it. There was no massacres that happened at the Grand Canyon.
The restaurant or something?
There's a restaurant.
there's a tandoori takeaway at the bottom of it.
Grand Canyon burgers.
There's a load of tourists at it. But that
welcomes to the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
No,
you like? You do chicken tandoori?
Did I ever tell you about the native Indians that live at the bottom of the Grand Canyon?
No, you didn't.
Yes, there's a native Indian.
They still live there?
Yes. And when they were children, I met the chief and he came up 6 miles. He came up to meet us and we camped and we sat around the fire. And he said that as a child, he didn't know that there was life on the top of the canyon.
Actually, they still live there?
Yes. And if you Google them, it's incredible. The blue lagoons and the waterfalls and the pasture lands that are deep, deep, deep in the valley. And as a child, he said it was an amazing life. He never knew that there was life 6 miles.
And did they ever come out of it?
Oh, they do now, yeah.
For the dole and stuff.
For the
and go to the doctor.
And a lot of them would work in the casino.
I can't think of the name of them, but we sat with the chief.
They do the tours on the helicopters.
I know you, man. I've seen them on the roulette wheel in the
they take the helicopters
in the Grand Canyon
around.
Casino.
They have their own casino down there. But
that to me, certain places like that, the Amazon River, place like that to me is those special
places. What
about
places. Ireland though?
Yeah, we're just after talking about the banks of the River Boyne.
But isn't it a good job that people don't have the same resonances? Like say you were munging somebody.
And you'll always be remembered for that.
And you went to bite them on the neck. And she goes, Jimmy Foley used to bite me down.
I was misunderstanding.
You dropped the hand on then the back of her cacks.
And she'd say,
you put your forefinger just at the top of her arse cleavage.
Yes.
And she goes, oh yeah, Tony Johnson used to wet his finger before he put it down.
Stop.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So it's places carry these.
Places are better.
Yes.
You might be sucking the tits off her. And she'd be going,
Jesus Christ, Tommy.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Sucking the tits off her. Like up against the wall, for fuck's sake. And then he says there's nothing wrong with it. But it doesn't sound that appealing.
It's not shocking.
Sucking the tits off her up at the top
Okay, hang on a second.
Of the black light.
Okay,
what's that
hang
place?
On a second.
Blackwater Village.
Not sucking the tits off her.
Sucking the tits off her off Blackwater Village.
What's that place called?
What about
Navan?
Above the
okay,
top of
not
Navan,
sucking the tits over.
I was above the
gentry
top.
Gentry flicking the nipple with your tongue. How's that?
Oh. Well, fellas wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that to you.
I was flicking her.
Did you lick the nipples off?
You know, I was sucking the tits off her.
I sucked, and then I turned around to you and I go, well, I sucked the diddy off her. The diddy.
I'm sucking the tits off her. Like, that is the worst line ever.
Like this, look.
I have to get a t-shirt with that on it.
Look.
I was sucking the tits over. The fuck is that? It's disgusting.
It's lovely.
That's like the
up against a wall in Blackcastle.
Blackcastle, that's it.
That's like the sticker I saw on the back of a Jeep in Sligo. He said, flat out like a badger on the bypass. Sucking the tits over.
I know what you're saying, Tommy. It's the places that have that emotion.
Resonate.
If you had to wear a uniform... If you had to wear a uniform for
were
one...
Were you really delighted with yourself now when you come up with this and the,
I'm sitting at the curriculum
bit? Yes.
No, no, that's what it was. If you had to go to work in a uniform, what job would that job be? It's fucking genius.
Sorry.
It's genius if you think about
Hector's
it.
Hector's kids have gone back to school and now he's like school.
So could you give us an example of what's in your imagination when you think of that?
Maybe a lollipop man for a day. A uniform the lollipop man had. A uniform. Look, isn't that a great...
I think the lollipop man is like the umpires in the GAA. It's just a coat.
Yeah, it's just a coat.
And okay. You can improvise
and
the
hat.
Rest.
Right.
What? I'd like to be a prison officer.
Oh, hello.
Rawr.
Would you really?
What would you... Why, Loretta?
I just have a fascination with what goes on inside prisons and I'd like to be in the front line to see exactly what happens.
It's never too late to train. Would you like to be in working a female prison or a male prison?
Male.
And are you... kind of curious about criminals?
Yes, very curious.
And the
inner workings of it.
Yeah.
I always thought I'd like to do a documentary in a prison or, you know, just talk to these people. You've been in.
Yeah.
I'd love to work in there.
Okay, so is it something about being in charge of locking? Is it anything about being in charge and locking the door or
being dominant,
having a load of keys?
Yeah, but locking men up. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Is there anything about having a load of keys on your
would you sex up the uniform a bit maybe and, you know, pop in with breakfast to them?
So you'd have to wear a uniform in this job. Would you go down to Port Leash for
a week?
You'd
have to say
the only thing that's not attractive are the boots.
No, and the pants. The pants that they give.
Pants
are like great. The
Bangarda and prison officer pants don't suit them.
No, they're not attractive in any way.
They wouldn't be able to introduce
skinny...
You have
to have torches and keys and everything.
High heels and skinny
you're
pants.
Talking in dementia, but you like that.
Yeah. So, Loretta, you would put on a prison uniform and go in and work in a prison.
Well, maybe only for a week. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd like to make a living out of it because I'd say it'd be hard going, but I'd like to just experience it for a couple of days.
Wow.
Interesting.
What came into your mind, Hector, in terms of uniform?
Would I put on a uniform? Would I put on a full referee's outfit and referee?
With the black socks and the black...
And
I'd
wear the 1980 white ROM Adidas runners. I'd have the full GA referee, and I'd love to referee a junior match somewhere like out in Clonbur on a lovely summer's evening.
You get the head
on Carrarua against Clonbur.
Would you be a good ref?
I'd say I'd be fair. I talk to the lads all the time.
That's really annoying.
Listen, lads, we're letting it go. Okay, up we go. Here we go. Keep it moving. I try and keep it moving.
And if a fella absolutely dived, if a fella was not fucking hitting you so, but he was down in the grass clutching his face, what would you say to him?
I'd say, get up, play acting, or I'll give you a yellow. You're out. Okay, I wouldn't brandish the cards. I'd try and keep the... But I'd like to put on the uniform of a referee and referee a match of complete strangers that I don't know. And there was a little bit of niggle in it, but not great. But let the game flow. Let that game flow and be a good referee in the middle in the uniform.
Wow.
What about you, Tommy? Would you put on a uniform anywhere in the world?
I suppose a snooker referee.
Yes.
Ah, come on.
Shit, what?
The fuck, it's an important job.
Foul four. Kirk Stevens, 29.
You just have to wear...
Bill Werbenick, 62.
That's just a tuxedo.
Foul four. Lynn Ganley.
Foul four.
No, just wear the white gloves.
Do you know what I'd hate to be?
Foul four.
Do you know what I'd hate to be?
Kirk Stevens, 22.
Pressure. I'd hate to be one of them fuckers looking at the line in Wimbledon.
Oh, they're the worst.
Your man has served the ball at 100 miles an hour.
And your hands on their hip knees.
They'd look at me and I go, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. I saw fucking nothing.
Could
you imagine if you were the one, or the other one is the triple jump? Do you ever see them at the Olympics and they're sitting there waiting
with the little flag
and they're waiting to see if the thing made the imprint on it?
But that's easy enough.
That's pressure though. But that's a uniform.
The Wimbledon is hard. You know, the ball will come back and you'd go out, and they'd look at you and you go, I think it was anyway. I'm not 100% sure.
What about the guy with the checkered flag and the checkered flag gear on the Formula One, and he giving it socks with the big thing?
That'd be okay too, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be
a uniform, but there's so many people that put on uniforms that that go out there and keep this world that we live in.
A guard, Tommy, you'd be a good guard.
Tommy, a copper, a Garda, out on the Aran Islands.
No, it wouldn't suit
me. Giving people lifts home and stuff.
Wouldn't suit me.
No. No.
Not a cross guard, like.
Anyway, that's... Do you have any more of these great little...
inspirational questions?
Let's just see. I'll just cross-dash off, will I? Yes. No, I've none now. I'll leave it over to you. Bye-bye.
I tried to get the guard.
Join us next week, kids, as we do.
Interesting jobs.
Interesting uniforms.
Sucking
I
the
tried
tits.
To. I was out the other night and I tried to get the guards to bring me home, and I have to say they've changed. They didn't bring me home.
So back in the day, you would have swung into the... Before there was a Hackney office.
I was up at the front in Ballina, and there was no cars, and I flagged down the car, and I
you
said, over here, traffic lights, no one at it. They came over anyway, they pulled
you
in.
You have the balls of a fucking porn star.
Unbelievable.
I need to go home. And they said, well, you need to get a taxi. And I said, well, there's no taxis. And then he says, well, why are you out at this time of the night anyway? And I says, well, I was just out for a walk. And
the 3 o'clock in the morning and the smell of gin off you.
The stink
and
of Ritz.
I said, if you give me a lift out to Knockmore, bring me out to Knockmore. And he said, there's two chances of that. And I says, well, that's not bad. I said, what are the chances of it? And he said, no, I can't. And I says, please. I said, I'll trade you off. I said, I live in a very prime location for speeding. And I said, if you wanted to park there anytime, I could trade you a lift home and you can park outside my house to get And he said, he was like, oh, where do you live? I says, no. I said, if you're bringing me home, I'll tell you. But I said, if you're not, I can't. I said, now, can you bring me home? And he says, no, I can't. I says, you've changed. I said, I'm disappointed with you.
How many times have the Gardaí brought you home in your showbiz career of entertainment?
Not showbiz.
No, but
normal.
Show business around Ballina.
I was walking out. I was living in town and it was pissing rain one night. Like,
but when you say town, you see... It's important for the listeners that you mean Ballina.
Yeah, I was living in the town.
Okay.
In the actual town.
No, but when you were living in town, see, people would think that was Dublin or San Francisco or New York.
In the town of Ballina.
Yes.
And I had to walk across the river and it was raining. It was about 3 o'clock, no taxis. And I stood in the middle of the road and I stopped one of them and I says, can you give me a lift home? And he says, no. And I says,
yeah, like, do you remember the bit in Superman where the three fellas are trapped in the glass and they come to Earth? And they just fucking take control. Zog.
Yeah.
And you're like that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Just stopping the guards with your hand out.
Yeah. And then I was on my own and I said, please, can you give me a lift home? It's raining and I'm going to get soaked. And
out in the middle of the road, hand up,
I was
stop.
Going to cross.
Like you're the guard and they're the fucking...
Stop there.
They're
the earthlings and you say, get me out of here.
Get me home immediately. And they were like, oh no, we can't. I said, it's raining and I'm getting wet while we're having this conversation. Can I sit in the car at least until we decide if you're going to bring me home or not? So then they would bring you home. They would. I had this relationship with the guards where I used to live my own on a ground floor apartment in Ballina, and there used to be a lot of people stopping and going past and, you know, and a lot of noise. And because I lived there by myself, I used to ring the guards a lot. And I'd be like, there's a bit of unusual activity going on outside. And
were you single at the time?
Yeah. And so they'd ring me like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be like, there's disturbance going on outside. Would you be able to send a car over? And they'd be like, there's nobody here at the minute now, but we'll be back to you later. And then they would. They were awful good, you know, they're awful good natured. So they used to bring you home, but that seems to be eradicated.
Did you
now.
Know the book in the car last
weekend? Night? Yeah. No, or the other night? No, I didn't. No.
And over the years, would you?
I did ask him where he was from. And
where is he from?
He was from Sligo. And I said, well.
Signs on.
That's unfortunate. And it was a bit unpleasant, I have to say now. I thought, and I said, well, how am I going to get home in this? Or we're working like we... I said, but sure, wouldn't
But you're 54 years of age, Larita. Yeah.
I said, it's work, this is work.
But
Larita, this is work. Larita, you have to bring me home, sure, you wouldn't know what you might see.
No,
on the
but Larita, these guys are busy. They're doing stuff. They're minding the town at night time. They're minding the town.
Disappointed
As the people of Ballina sleep safe in their beds, they're out minding the town. And you're
exactly. And they could have come out to Knockmore to make sure everything was all right out there. Like, we don't have a garden.
They're minding Ballina. They're not doing... interesting.
Wonderful sense of entitlement you have, Larita.
But is it not a good thing?
I think it is.
To bring home. Like, they should bring you home.
What would happen if everyone in every town at 3 o'clock...
I don't mind that.
Ah, fuck them.
Fuck everybody, dude. What would happen if everybody is everywhere?
Yeah, that's the attitude they have.
Life wouldn't work, Larita.
You should be in the guards. Life wouldn't work.
What if everybody everywhere was doing a podcast?
Shut up, would you?
No, no. Isn't anybody
what
else.
I'm saying
that's not
is,
how you work. What I'm saying
you do what you want to do.
No, she's not allowed. She's not allowed to do that sort of stuff because you cannot. Interrupt
See,
the lads.
You can.
They're minding the town.
You have fucking.
You're like the guards. You've changed.
You're a fucking.
They are out trying to stop people robbing fucking trout and salmon out of the moy. They're out doing their job on the front line. Everything the Gardaí. What are the Gardaí?
Who owns the salmon in the moy?
Yeah.
How can you rob something that nobody owns?
Yeah, Hector. Go on, Hector.
Come on. Don't be giving me the righteous planks here.
You're the one that's been righteous.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the righteous planks.
You cannot be at that crack. I wouldn't do that, Loretta. I wouldn't do that.
Say your young fella is out in town.
I'd say ring me.
Say your young fella is out in town and you're off doing fucking gang with fucking Rasta Neddy in the back of a shed somewhere in fucking Linan.
Yeah.
And next thing a squad car pulls
up. That would never happen.
And a squad car pulls up. And Dipman's looking out the window and the young fella gets out of the back and he gives a high five to the guard.
A young fella getting out of the back, that's fine. A grown woman standing in the middle of Ballina at 3 o'clock.
How dare you use that language, Larissa?
Yeah. How fucking dare,
how dare you?
A grown woman
full of gin.
He's looking for a slap.
Full of gin and wine standing in the middle of the road going,
what were you wearing, Larissa?
I was, I don't know.
Were you jeans or a skirt?
Jeans, probably. But if I was wearing the skirt, I probably would have got the lift.
Totally.
I definitely would have got the lift. And anyway, Hector, like, you know, leave it off. Like, they're, you know, they're nice. And of course you can ask them.
How long is the trip? All you can do is ask them.
If they say no, that's fine.
How long is the trip from Ballina to?
7 minutes.
Seven minutes. They are maybe...
And 7 minutes back.
And, well, a bit of time in the house.
If I Google...
For a few sandwiches and a cup of tea. If I googled
Hackneys, I'd have 40 of them.
I rang every one of them.
Where were they? Downtown Ballina was really busy, wasn't it?
No, they weren't working.
Would you stop?
They weren't working.
Would you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Job. So I was reared in a townland called Knockumber, as you well know, Tommy, the home house. And in 1977, a load of lads went by in a few pickup trucks and they started drilling opposite in the field and we didn't know what it was. And then a couple of the mothers and dads, we got concerned about what was going on. We didn't know it was going to be a mine. We didn't know what was under the ground. And there's a photo, and I need to find it, of me, I tell you, I told you this before, in a pram with my mother trying to stop the JCBs and everything going by with a load of other mothers from the road. We were trying to block...
Stop the mines opening
in 1976 or 77. And I'm in a pram and my mother is there.
But you always had a fucking social conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out there.
I was in the pram. I was only 6 months old.
And you knew it.
Get
was wrong.
The fuck out of here, ye fuckers! Even though it's one of the biggest lead and zinc deposits in the fucking world, you are taking away my fucking playground. I was only six months old.
Your first word was fuck.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And then my brother was over at the palm trees playing football.
The palm trees were only small.
Yeah. But anyway,
serving cocktails to fucking to Cuban lesbians.
So what we did was we decided to open a coffee shop there and then. We had a coffee kiosk. We were the first people in a caravan. We sold coffee out in 1980. We were selling coffee to the workers who were going in for 12-hour shifts. We were well ahead of the game.
You were stopping them going in.
Little did we know that the biggest lead and zinc deposit possibly in the world that comes across through the centre part of England across the Irish Sea and it comes
under the Irish Sea
across it down all around, and it comes right through Navan. It splits it.
So does that mean if miners wanted to, they could dig anywhere along that trail?
They are digging along there in England. There's massive mines.
And where does it go after Navan?
It goes all the way down towards the north of Tipperary, southern Galway, north of Tipperary, and out and way out into the Porcupine Bank, 700 miles off Ireland. It is the richest lead and zinc deposits in the world. It has been created millions of years ago. And I know up in UCD...
And it goes down.
And it goes deep and down.
So how far down?
Mind your own business.
How far down do you go?
But like,
you never say that never to a man.
Not to minding people. I'll tell you something straight to your face.
That's
face.
A fucking schoolboy error.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Navan is the Grand Canyon of Ireland.
Yes, oh, right. Okay. Tommy, yes. Sometimes I have to sit in Navan.
Yes, there's Indians living at the bottom of it.
Is there?
Well, there.
Or are they Irish
there
people?
Is. There's plenty of Indians in Navan. So...
Living at the bottom of Navan, underneath.
This became Tara Mines.
The underbelly.
And as a youngster growing up and looking out my window and across the road, this mine got bigger and bigger and bigger. And there was a train that went in twice a day and it had about 100 carriages and it was filled with the deposits. And every evening you'd hear it.
Why is that train not running anymore?
That train doesn't run anymore because I think it's...
Probably sent it by email or something, isn't it?
A drone comes.
That's a good question, Tommy. Maybe it...
Because there is a train track that goes from Navan to Dublin.
Maybe it doesn't run, but back in the day, you'd see hundreds of carriages. So what we would do as 10 and 12 and 13-year-olds is we'd sneak in, we'd get over the wire and we'd break into Tara Mines at night time and we'd play along the train tracks and we'd jump from carriage to carriage and deposit to deposit and then we'd hear the train.
You jump on the train?
Yeah, but it wasn't moving. It goes really slow because there's hundreds
of
carriages.
Are you mixing up your life with an episode of Huckleberry
Deadwood,
Finn?
Deadwood.
Deadwood. Like that. I thought you were going off on
Tommy,
the train.
Tommy, so we would always sneak in and we'd always be...
Did you ever see any zinc or lead?
Do we see it? Should we got tattoos of it on ourselves?
Used it to tattoo.
Well, fucking everyone in Navan knows what lead and zinc
looks
like.
Such a sneer, Larita.
What do you mean, did you ever see it?
What did you ever guess? What does it make? What lead? Zinc.
It makes everything that's in your life.
And sinks and...
Mobile phones and car batteries. Tungsten and lead and zinc and ore is used for everything in your world.
Right.
Makes Dysons. Yeah. If they didn't have it, there would no fucking V15 Dysons.
So
as we grow older, then we realised, and at night time, there was a huge shaft. Now, please, Louis, don't say it in dirty. There was a huge shaft, a huge phallic symbol, and up above it then would be Tara Mines, and they'd have a Christmas light on it. And everyone,
All year round.
And everyone in Navan could see the light.
Right.
You could see it from Tritown, you could see it from Winetown.
Did you see
it? You could see it from everywhere, from Blackcastle. As Tommy was munching, look up and they'd see the Christmas light and they'd go, look it, it's lighting. And then he'd go back in, start shifting again. He said, never mind that light, I'm going to suck the tit off you here. Meanwhile, she'd just arc her head and go, the little baby Bethlehem baby bird now at Christmas time.
You're getting tongue-tied now.
Just stick to your script.
So years later, I did a show called Hector Goes Digging, where I went deep into the underground of this country, the turf, Cropatrick, the gold. And I said to the boys, I said, I want to go into Tara Mines as a miner. So we got access all areas and I met the miners in the canteen. And remember, tens of thousands of men have put their children through school because this mine has been there for 40 years. It is a rich plain. It is so rich that they haven't hit the mother load yet. So I went in to meet all the boys and some of them were ex-schoolmates. Some of them are loads of lads who went to Pats.
And what's the job of it, Hector?
The miners, there's hundreds of men working over smelting and with the ore up overground in massive pits and machinery. But underground, there's a couple of hundred miners that go on 12-hour shifts.
Have the machines done there?
I've never seen the like of it. Went into this prefab to do my safety test. And they said, Hector, today you're going to become a miner. I says, fine. Roscoe was with me. All the boys all getting set up for sound. John Larry and the boys. So we had to get on all our gear. Then we had to do some tests.
What's the danger?
The danger is we're going to 7 miles underground. 7 miles deep.
Were you claustrophobic? I saw a programme about that.
So we were there going, right, we're all getting our gear. And we started getting a little bit ahead. We had our breathing apparatus. We had the helmets. We had all the gear, boots.
Safe. Why do you need all that stuff?
Because you're going deep underground, Tommy.
But what's underground that's a threat to you?
The world is on top of you.
Tommy, the minute you're underground, you need to have all the safety stuff, the protocols, and you have to have the right gear and
this
the torches.
This is more of this fucking...
What are you on about? What do you mean? Why you will put on a pair of flip-flops and a fucking pair of shorts going
but
down
But what's
here?
Underground that's a danger to you?
That's
you're going fucking underground, Tommy.
You haven't answered the question, Hector.
Because I'm going 7 miles deep into the ground.
But what's there that's bad?
Because there's massive machinery coming around the corner that are fucking the size of your house that would fucking kill you if they can't see you.
So the threat is the machines, not the environment.
Oh, I thought it was that it was going to collapse.
And the lack of oxygen and understand that you're 6 miles deep underground and if something happened, there was an explosion, and they're bombing the area. They're mining with explosives.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
So we headed
in. Collapse.
Exactly, Lorena. Yes. We headed into the main shaft in this special vehicle, and he said, we're ready to go. And then we went down for about a mile, and then we stopped. And I've never forgot this. There was a traffic lights, and then it said, Dublin Airport, 2 miles. Trimgate Street, 1 mile. So they have names on the streets underground. And I said to your man, don't tell me you have names. Hector, he said, sometimes we're going over as far as that boy. We're nearly in Trim. We can go 13 miles this way if you want. Wow. I said, fuck off. He said, Hector, we have been mining here for 40 years. We had to put names on the crossroads. So they have crossroads miles and miles and miles underground.
There's housing estates.
There's housing estates and there's chippers.
Can we go to the airport?
There's a whole world. There's a school. There's a whole world underneath there. So the Foresters has been reborn. They have a snooker club. They have a snooker club. The embassy on one side. Yes, everything. So
yeah, there's a GAA club down there, but they can't play in daylight.
It's called the Tara Miners GAA Club.
And they can go to the airport and they can go everywhere.
So I couldn't believe that they name crossroads and going left, because you can get... So the feeling... So we're about 2 hours into it now, and then we got...
Is it hot down there?
Very hot. So they have these massive extraction fans in certain places, and you can look up as far as the eye can see, and you can hear... And it's pumping oxygen down into the ground, which is vital. So then we got to one of the areas where they're digging. He said, Hector, we're going to blow something now in a minute. We're going to do some digging so you can see it. And I'm going, this is great. Roscoe's going, what's going on?
Was there any hoovers down there?
No.
Sewers.
So anyway, yeah, man, I've never seen anything like it. Now, we're starting to sweat at this stage.
I'm sweating here already.
We're claustrophobic. We're 6 miles under the ground, deep underneath County Mead. And your man goes, watch this. So next minute, coming around the corner, is this massive machine. He comes right up to the area and he starts drilling into the wall. And he pulls this thing out, and then he puts the explosives in, all done robotically. And then he reverses back through the shaft. And then this thing comes down, this galvanized thing comes down, and we stand in a safety area, and the machine pulls back, and next minute, poof, and then the machine goes in. So your man is working the machine remote controlled. So anyway, then I said, what happens if the shit hits the fan, and have you ever had any accidents? He said, touch wood, Hector, we've been very, very good, because these are hundreds of men working under here every day, and there are hundreds of families, and it's a dangerous job. And I said, what happens if something goes wrong? He says, now I'm going to show you what happens if it goes wrong. So they've got six specific areas. Remember, there's 13 or 14 miles of roads. And he says, I'm going to lock you in one of these cubicles now, and it, just in case... If the shaft collapsed or whatever happened. So he says, right, we'll find one of these. So we're driving along. Next minute, we see to this little enclave where they have this. It looks like a porta cabin, but it's thick, and a massive door, and like opening a safe, and then you walk in, and inside you're self sufficient for 48 hours.
Can
oxygen,
you breathe?
Water, food, special phone. Camera, a
couple of girly magazines,
and then he locked the door, and he sealed it, and you're given oxygen and everything in there. You're self sufficient. There's beds, everything. That if the shit hit the fan, or poisonous gases got out, or if the whole thing caved in, that they would be safe in there for 48 hours. Incredible. But you know what? I was looking at Roscoe, and Roscoe said, Roscoe does that SAS. Who dares wins? He'd hang off a helicopter, and he started. I could see his face. After about 6 or 7 hours. When you're 6 or 7 miles underground, you start to get a feeling of claustrophobia. You start to feel really stuffy, and your mind starts telling you, no more than being on the sea for a long time, you start feeling that I am so deep underground, man, this is a little bit mad. And your brain starts changing, and you start sweating, and you start worrying. I didn't mind that feeling, but Roscoe got really freaked out, and he had to get out of there. So we finished filming early, and he had to get back up to get some fresh air. Incredible. And that is outside my house.
What was it like coming up, hitting the fresh air again?
Unbelievable. And you just see the daylight. And you imagine these miners are going down every day of the week. And men from Navan and Atboy and Trim and Kells and Mead and all over the country who have gone and been miners. And we think of Ireland. Oh, we're not miners. What have we got? We don't have any. But we do have the biggest lead and zinc mine in Europe that's been going for 40 years. And as we speak, there are hundreds of men underground in Navan now. When your man told me, we haven't even hit the mother lode yet. We're out near Atboy. which is nearly 10 miles
away. Who owns it? Who owns it?
It's some Finnish company, or they changed the name from Tara Mines to Ulakumpu or something like that. It's changed hands a few times.
So it's privately owned?
It was privately owned in the beginning. So that was privately owned by lads around Navan who started drilling, and then it was set up as Tara Mines, and it has billions, I'm talking billions and billions and billions.
Now, fair play to all for this, these companies for putting all the money in, but do you think stuff like that should be state owned?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ideally, it should be owned by the country.
Should have been. It's like the oil. It's like the oil. It's like the gas.
Yes,
sure, you know all about the... We won't talk about the oil around me. Oh, and the pipe.
No, probably not. Wow.
But an amazing feeling to go deep under our land, because we stand in our back garden and we stand on the bogs and we stand in the fields. We just don't know what's under our ground. And it was funny on University Challenge last year. Question for 5. Name the biggest lead and zinc balls. And it showed a map and it showed Tara Mines. Brilliant.
Wow.
Brilliant.
That's a proud moment for Navan people.
Yeah.
When we own University Challenge.
That, to us, that was the...
That's the mother load.
That's the mother load there. University Challenge, Navan.
So as you know, we like saying hello to people who listen to the podcast all over the world. Indeed, out in the island last week, I met a pretty little young one and she says to me, I'm living in Vancouver and I listen to the podcast. But this comes in from Alex and Layla. How are you, lads? We are writing to you from Mexico. We've just driven 8,500 kilometres from Vancouver, Canada, down the west coast of the USA into Baja, Mexico, and then took a ferry to the mainland in our self-converted Ford camper van. Our final destination is Patagonia. Wish us luck. Now, Patagonia, as you know, is the boot heel of South America. It's right at the bottom. We always laugh about how mad it must have been for Hector to take these trips without Google Maps back in the day. Google Maps. We absolutely love nothing more than listening to your chats on our long drive days. Thank you for keeping us company. Shout out to all our pals in Vancouver and Ireland. And that's from Layla from Dublin and Alex from Kildare. Well, fair play to you.
Sounds what a like fucking adventure.
The adventure of a lifetime. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this week's episode, everybody. God bless, good luck, and we'll talk to you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.